Psalm 77. My voice rises to God, and I will cry aloud. My voice rises to God, and He will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. When I remember God, then I am disturbed. When I sigh, then my spirit grows faint. You have held my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of long ago. I will remember my song in the night. I will meditate with my heart, and my spirit ponders. Will the Lord reject forever? Will He never be favorable again? Has His loving kindness ceased forever? Has His promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious, or has He in anger withdrawn His compassion? Then I said, "It is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have by your power redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and of Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you. They were in anguish. The deeps also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth a sound. Your arrows flashed here and there. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, and your paths in the mighty waters, and your footprints may not be known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Now, one of the things I do whenever I begin a study is I have a little book in my library that's at the house, and I open that up, and it's a listing of Old Testament quotations in the New Testament. That's the very first thing I want to do when I'm looking at a passage, is to see what the Holy Spirit used, and is there any explanation of that verse in my New Testament. So having looked in that section, what we find is there are no New Testament quotations from this psalm. And of course, one of the things you probably noted as we read through that psalm, especially at the latter part of this psalm, the psalmist Asaph is referring to what event? What event is he talking about when he says, "The waters saw you, and they were in anguish. The deeps also trembled, and the clouds poured out the water." What event is he talking about here? He's talking about the Exodus. And you'll recall at the Exodus. Now, the reason we know it's the Exodus, look at the very last verse, verse 20. "You led your people like a flock," okay, "by whose hand?" Moses and Aaron. So we know that he's talking about the Exodus, and he's drawing understanding from that Exodus to help him in his perplexity here. Now, what is his perplexity? Well, that perplexity is summed up in verse 10. And that is, he said, "It is my grief." The word grief there is actually a Hebrew word that can be translated sickness. This kind of lets you know how afflicted he was. "This is my sickness, that the right hand of the Most High has changed. Now that's pretty significant. So let's just keeping all that in mind, I'm just trying to tonight to set up the context on why we might want to go through the psalm to help us in our prayer life. We'll note at the introduction of this psalm, Psalm 77, in the title, that this is a psalm of Asaph. Now, we've done another psalm of Asaph before, and that was Psalm 73. We did that in, looked it up, we did that in 2016. And in Psalm 73, what is happening here in that psalm is that Asaph is upset because he knows that God is good to Israel, to those who are pure of heart. And yet, he looks around and he sees God being good to the wicked. And in his case, he's the pure in heart, but he's experiencing strife and trouble and chastisement. You remember how often? Every day. And that is perplexing, isn't it? And because of that perplexity, Asaph has looked, in Psalm 73, he said, I looked at the wicked, and I looked at their prosperity, and I was envious of this. Now that is a trial of the righteous, right? Okay? So God is good, right? And what I love about Asaph is that Asaph, who wrote some, at least 12 of our psalms, he may have wrote some that were untitled, but we know that there's 12, and it's real easy for us to remember those psalms because it's Psalm 73 through 78. Excuse me, it's not 78, 80, hold on, I wrote down the wrong number. It's through Psalm 83, so 73 through 83. And then there's one lone one in another book of the Psalms, Psalm 50. So you have those 12 Psalms. And in those 12 Psalms, Asaph handles what I call hard questions. Very, very hard questions. And he gives us the answers to those questions. Psalm 77, which is the one we just read, is also by Asaph, but it is a different perspective on an old issue. And the issue is, we know who God is, and we know certain attributes about God. But then when we look around under the sun, we look around down here, it doesn't seem that those attributes are really true. And so, for instance, we're here in Psalm 77. Look at the questions that he asked in this psalm. Look in verse 7. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never be favorable again? So what's going on here? He is praying. Right? We know that from the first 9 verses here, first 6 verses here. He's praying, and he's praying rightly. Yes? He's basing his prayers on the person of this covenant-keeping God, who he is. But what's happening, he thinks? What does he think is going on? What does he feel like here? He feels like that even though he's praying the right things to the right God and understanding God's person rightly, how does he feel? Yeah, he feels God's not answering the prayer, right? He feels like God has rejected him. Okay, and I want you to note that. Look here at the first 6 verses. It's all first person. My voice, I will, my voice, I sought, my hand, my soul. Verse 3, when I remember God, I am disturbed. When I sigh, my spirit, verse 4, it's my eyelids. I am so troubled, I cannot speak. Verse 5, I'm thinking about the days of old, and we know that means the Exodus, right? He's thinking about the days of old, the years of long ago. I remember my song of night. I'm meditating with my heart. My spirit is pondering. This sounds like a believer, doesn't it? Right? He's going to God in the midst of his trouble. Is he praying? Is he seeking? Is he hungering? Is he thirsting? Is he seeking God with all of his heart? Yes, yes, and yes. Is his mind pondering the answer from the Scripture? Yes, he remembers the days of old. His spirit is pondering. He's thinking about this, and he's praying about this situation, this distress, and nothing's happening. In other words, the distress is still there, isn't it? And the sighing is still there. And he's been praying about this for a long time. He talks about in verse 2 that in the night his hand was stretched out without weariness. So how's he praying? Everybody look up here. He's praying like what? And he is so engaged in this, right, that he's holding up. You try to hold up your hands like this, and your hands are going to get tired. And yet he says, I kept holding them out without weariness. Like Moses up on the mount overlooking that battle, right? And the two people, I forgot their names, had to come and prop his hands up. Because when Moses' hands was up, they were winning. When his hands dropped, they were losing. So here Asaph, is his arms up? Is he praying? Is he seeking God with his whole heart? Is he praying the right things? Is he praying to the right God? Is he basing his prayers on the right aspects, the attributes of God? The answer is yes, yes, and yes. Is he seeing the answer yet?
No.
No. How does he feel? He feels like it's not just that God's not hearing his prayer. He feels rejected. Everybody see that? Now, I stress that because I have felt that way before. And I just want you to know, brethren, that that's one of the reasons why I've selected this psalm. It's because I want you to know that you're not the only believer who's ever felt this way. Right? See, because your thing could be like this. Well, I prayed. What's the use? I'm just going to give up. You know, and besides that, I shouldn't be feeling this way. Because we know, has God rejected us?
No.
He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. We know that. But when you pray a long time about something, for God to deliver you from this, and it doesn't happen, you can actually have the feeling of rejection, that God is spurring you off, like a parent, you know, who's too busy. Get away. Don't ask me that now. Don't bother me now. Here's the second thing that he asked. Verse 8. Has his loving kindness ceased forever? Has his promise come to an end forever? So what's he feeling now? What, he's having these feelings that God seemingly has rejected him, right? Mm-hmm. But what's he thinking now? I mean, he's asking the hard questions, isn't he? He's actually wondering if God's loving kindness, we call it his hesed, his covenant love. God chooses to set his love upon people through covenant, right? We are under what covenant? The new covenant, which is part and parcel of that Abrahamic covenant. God relates to us by covenant through a mediator, a priest, and our priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're under that same covenant love, and he's wondering if God's covenant love has what toward him? Has stopped. And the promises of that covenant, they've what? Ceased. You know what? In the New Testament, God tells us, draw near. Right? You come to the throne of grace to find help, right? And grace in time of need. He says, come and you'll get it. Asaph is saying, I've been praying about this. Distress has hit my soul. Has God's loving kindness toward me, has he taken that back? Because he's not coming to him, brethren, because he's sinless. Everybody with me? You don't approach God because you're sinless. We're sinners. We need atonement. Christ is our atonement. Amen? We come to God in Christ. God has chosen to set his love upon his son and upon his son's people. So is God taking that away? Is God not loving me anymore? Has God's promises ceased to be effective for me? That's a hard question. And then the third question is in verse 9. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Or has he in anger withdrawn his compassion? I can't believe he's asked that about God. Can you? God, have you forgotten how to be gracious to sinful people? And are you so angry at me that your anger has replaced your compassion? See, because all of our approaching to God is on mercy, right? On his son, on compassion, on grace. So it was for Asaph. So let's review here just for a second. Is Asaph praying? Is he praying rightly?
Yes.
Is he a believer? Does he know the right things about God? Is he is his heart right with God? Yes. And yet, evidently, in this pursuit of understanding God, because that's the key. When you're praying something and the answer doesn't come, it's because there's something in our understanding that's not properly tuned. So Asaph feels God's rejected him. Asaph feels like God's loving kindness has ceased toward him, and that instead of graciousness and compassion, that God is just showing him what? Anger. Anger how? Not answering his prayer, not delivering him from his trouble. And he says in verse 10, I've already mentioned this, that this was, New American Standard says, this was my what? My grief. This was a sickness to him. Now you think about this. You're earnestly praying. You are engaged. You want God to answer. The answer is in agreement with who God is. You're praying earnestly. And day after day, week after week, it just seems like there's nothing there. And so you start having feelings of rejection. God doesn't love you. That maybe there's some sin in your life You know, we have all these thoughts, right? And those thoughts disturbed him so much that it became a sickness. I know you've all been sick before. How does that feel? This was his sickness, and here's what it was. The sickness was, is that the right hand of the Most High has what? Change toward him. That instead of acceptance and favor and love and all the promises being yes and amen and gracious and compassion, that God's hand has changed toward him, and that was a sickness to him. Now, brethren, you probably have been there. You may not have called it a sickness, but in your thinking along these lines, your mind is going in this direction, and you're thinking along these lines, and you're thinking that maybe God's position toward you has changed. You actually, in your gut, feel ill. I mean, how can we live without God's compassion? How can we walk without Him being full of grace toward us? And to think that God's position could change toward me, that His position would be toward me like it would be a lost man, how would that make you feel deep in your spirit? It's like a sickness, right? Now, here's a beautiful thing. Those questions that Asaph asked, everybody see those verses 7 through 9? Okay. Those questions that Asaph asked, there's an answer that he's expecting you to answer at the end of those questions. So let me read the question, and you tell me what the expected answer is. Okay, verse 7. Will the Lord reject forever, and will He never be favorable again? What do you think that the answer Asaph is expecting you to think in your mind? Yeah, Asaph is expecting you to answer that with a big no. Right? How do you know that? Because, brethren, his acceptance and favor and loving kindness and covenant loyalty and graciousness and compassion, that's who God is. And we have a big, nice, fancy word for that. We call it immutable, right? His attributes are immutable. What do we mean by that? His attributes are unchangeable. But what has he said in verse 10? My sickness is that the right hand of the Most High has changed. Now, he's worked through this. He's not writing this psalm during the trial of faith. He's writing the psalm after the trial of faith is done. So he says, let's just review. My voice rises to God. I cry aloud, verse 1. What's the promise in verse 1? He will hear me. Everybody see that? Mm-hmm. Okay, but how does he feel down in verses 7, 8, 9?
Like he
feels like God's not going to what? Heal. So he tells you right off the bat that my voice rises to God. I'll cry aloud and He'll hear me. But here's what happened, verse 2. In the day of trouble, I sought the Lord. At night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. When I remember God, it didn't bring Him comfort. It what?
Disturbed.
It disturbed Him. When I sigh, my spirit grows faint. You held my eyelids open. What does that mean? He couldn't sleep. He's so disturbed. You ever couldn't sleep because you're sick? See, this is his sickness. He can't go to sleep. He's so troubled, he can't what? He can't talk about it. While he's doing that, he's considering the days of old, the years of long ago, and he says, I'll remember my song in the night, I'll meditate with my heart, and my spirit is pondering. And what is he pondering? Verse 7, will the Lord reject forever? Answer,
no.
Verse 8, has his loving kindness ceased forever? Has his promise come to an end forever? Answer,
no.
Verse 9, has God forgotten to be gracious, or has he in anger withdrawn his compassion? Answer,
no.
It's no. And brethren, here's the thing that I want you to see. He is wrestling with this because this is what he feels. Can a believer feel this?
Yes.
But he is responding in a believing way, isn't he? He is, this trial of his faith, he is going to come out of this more precious than gold. Because he's going to learn something about God. And where he's going to learn it is in verses, in verses 11 through 20. And he's going to draw his answer and his instruction from remembering the Exodus. Now that ought to tell us something. That this little story, I use that in quotes, this little story that we love to tell and we kind of illustrate to kids is not just a little nice little story, once upon a time this happened. There's instruction in that story that you and I are supposed to see. And what Asaph will see is that this unchangeable God, he will know more about this unchangeable God. And he will learn God's ways. Look at verse 13. Your way, O God, is what? See, he's learning something about God's ways. Look at verse 18. The sound, is verse 19. Your way was where? That tells us where he's getting the instruction from. The Exodus, amen? What part of the Exodus? Well, the coming out of Egypt. Yeah, but what part of that? Was it Mount Sinai? No. Was it coming out of Egypt with the pots and the pans and the gold and the necklaces? No. Where was it? At the Red Sea. Where at the Red Sea? Was it just at the beginning? Was it after the victory? No. He learned something about God's way in the sea, which means while they were walking there. Can you see that this man's been meditating? That he's been banging on the Scripture, seeking to know God's ways. Because, listen, brethren, look. Our God answers prayer. We know that as a church. We know that, don't we? Say amen. Yes, yes, yes. We see it every week. We thank God for answer prayer every week. But yet we feel with certain prayers, we feel rejected. So how do you handle that? Well, you don't say God's changed. He hasn't changed. So what needs to change? I have to learn something about God that I don't quite yet understand. In other words, the problem's not with him, amen? The problem's with me, my thinking, who I think God is. And that way, which is holy, was in the sea, verse 19. His pathway in the mighty waters. And your footprints. You see that? You got in the sea, right? You got in the mighty waters. You got steps, right? You got footprints. And look at verse 20. You led them like a through Moses, who's a prophet, and Aaron, who's a high priest. And so we're going to investigate this psalm probably in about three or four Wednesdays to try to figure out what did Asaph learn? That when we do feel this rejection, what did he learn about God that answered his quandary and provided the answer to his prayer?